If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the heartland of this great country, at the crossroads, comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard only through ConservativeNationMedia.com. Your infidel host, Robert Garding, comes to you from West Central Indiana, one of only two states in America who runs their budget in the black. You are listening to Hour 1 of the show, and now, here's your host, Robert Garding.
Today is the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor, which happened 72 years ago today. And there are still men alive out there who actually were there. But there are not many of them, and they're dying off at a rate that is bad for that species. You want to call them that. But one of the things that we have to remember is the sacrifices that these men gave for their country that day. These amazing people who fought in World War II would not have been amazing people, would not have been the amazing people they were if they had to be raised in today's society and raised learning the things they are learning in our schools today with Common Core and with our leaders today. If they were raised in today's society. And in this show, I will explain what I mean by that. But of course, again, I digress. And hello, Lady Michelle. Good to have you here. On the morning of December 7th, 1941, the Japanese launched a surprise air attack on the U.S. Naval Base at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. After just two hours of bombing, more than 2,400 Americans were dead, 21 ships had either been sunk or damaged, and more than 188 U.S. aircraft had been destroyed. The attack at Pearl Harbor so outraged Americans that the U.S. abandoned its policy of isolationism and declared war on Japan the following day, officially bringing the United States into World War II. But why the attack? The Japanese were tired of negotiations with the United States. They wanted to continue their expansion within Asia, but the United States had placed an extremely restrictive embargo on Japan in the hopes of curbing Japan's aggression. Negotiations to solve their differences hadn't been going well. Rather than giving in to U.S. demands, the Japanese decided to launch a surprise attack against the United States in an attempt to destroy the United States naval power even before an official announcement of war was given. And we here at NWCR are glad that you are here today or listening on the archives. We hope that you enjoy this anniversary edition of our show. We're glad that you're here, and on with the show.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used.
One of the things that I did today was I downloaded all kinds of music for my bumper music that came from the era that happened during the attack on Pearl Harbor. And I hope that even though they're just bumper music and don't play very much, I hope that you enjoy that part of the show, because For the older people, it should bring back some memories and some good music. The element of surprise was the main thing that the Japanese depended on that day. and they got it. Even though there were warning signs in the weeks and days and even hours before the attack that an alert military would have seen. But even though some of them were seen, they were ignored. The Japanese practiced and prepared carefully for their attack on Pearl Harbor. They knew their plan was extremely risky. The probability of success depended heavily on complete surprise. On November 26, 1941, the Japanese attack force led by Vice Admiral Chuichi Nagumo left Etorofu Island in the Kurils, located northeast of Japan, and began its 3,000-mile journey across the Pacific Ocean. Now, this was weeks before the attack, sneaking 6 aircraft carriers, 9 destroyers, 2 battleships, 2 heavy cruisers, 1 light cruiser, and 3 submarines across the Pacific Ocean was not an easy task. Worried that they might be spotted by another ship, the Japanese attack force continually zigzagged and avoided major shipping lines. After a week and a half at sea, the attack force made it safely to its destination about 230 miles north of the Hawaiian island of Oahu. On the morning of December 7, 1941, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor began at 6 a.m. Now, mind you, that's when people are waking up. Since it was a Sunday, they were relaxed. They were not looking forward to anything of any significance. It was just going to be a relaxing day. At 6 o'clock a.m., the Japanese aircraft carriers began launching their planes amid rough sea. The total of 183 Japanese aircraft took to the air as part of the first wave of the attack on Pearl Harbor. At 7:15 a.m., the Japanese aircraft carriers, plagued by even rougher seas, launched 167 additional planes to participate in the second wave of the attack on Pearl Harbor. The first wave of the Japanese planes reached the naval station at Pearl Harbor, located on the south side of the Hawaiian island of Oahu, at 7:55 on that day. Just before the first bombs dropped on Pearl Harbor, Commander Mitsuo Fushida, leader of the air attack, called out, "Tora, Tora, Tora, Tiger, Tiger," a coded message which told the entire Japanese Army, Navy, that they had caught the Americans totally by surprise. Sunday mornings were a time of leisure for many U.S. military personnel at Pearl Harbor. Many were still either asleep in mess halls, eating breakfast, or getting ready for church on the morning of December 7th. They were completely unaware that an attack was imminent. Well, then the explosion started. The loud booms, pillars of smoke, and low-flying enemy aircraft shocked many into the realization that this was not a training exercise. Pearl Harbor was really under attack. Despite the surprise, many acted quickly. Within 5 minutes of the beginning of the attack, several gunners had reached their anti-aircraft guns and were trying to shoot down the Japanese planes. At 8 a.m., Admiral Husband Kimmel, in charge of Pearl Harbor, sent out a hurried dispatch to all U.S. naval fleet, air raid on Pearl Harbor. X, this is not a drill. On Battleship Row was part of this. The Japanese had been hoping to catch U.S. aircraft carriers at Pearl Harbor, but the aircraft carriers were out to sea that day. Thankfully, the next major important naval target was the battleships. On the morning of December 7th, there were 8 U.S. battleships at Pearl Harbor, 7 of which were lined up at what was called Battleship Row, and 1, the Pennsylvania, was in dry dock for repairs. The Colorado, the only other battleship of the U.S.'s Pacific Fleet, was not at Pearl Harbor that day. Since the Japanese attack was a total surprise, many of the first torpedoes and bombs dropped on the unsuspecting ships hit their targets. The damage done was severe. Although the crews on board each battleship worked feverishly to keep their ship afloat, some were destined to sink. The 7 U.S. battleships on Battleship Row were the Nevada, Just over half an hour after Nevada was hit by one torpedo, the Nevada got underway and left its berth in Battleship Row to head toward the harbor entrance. The moving ship made an attractive target to Japanese bombers, who caused enough damage to the Nevada that it was forced to beach itself, the Arizona. The Arizona was struck a number of times by bombs. One of these bombs, thought to have hit the forward magazine, caused a massive explosion which quickly sank the ship. Approximately 1,100 of her crew were killed. A monument has since been placed over the Arizona's wreckage, which is still there under the water. Tennessee. The Tennessee was hit by two bombs and was damaged by oil fires after the nearby Arizona exploded. However, it stayed afloat. West Virginia. The West Virginia was hit by up to 9 torpedoes and quickly sank. The Maryland. The Maryland was hit by 2 bombs but was not heavily damaged. The Oklahoma. The Oklahoma was hit by up to 9 torpedoes and then listed so severely that she turned nearly upside down. Despite being upside down, a large number of her crew remained trapped on board. Rescue efforts were only able to save 32 of her crew. The California. The California was struck by 2 torpedoes and hit by a bomb. The flooding grew out of control and the California sank 3 days later. In addition to the air assault on Battleship Row, the Japanese had launched 5 midget submarines. These midget subs, which were approximately 78.5 feet long and 6 feet wide and held only a 2-man crew, were to sneak into Pearl Harbor and aid in the attack against the battleships. However, all 5 of these midget subs were sunk during the attack on Pearl Harbor. Actually, one of them was captured, according to what I found out. There have been speculation that one didn't get sunk and that there is no evidence of this, and most likely it is from large part of the human brain that thinks up things that could have happened that didn't. But the attack on the naval base and the ships in the harbor still wasn't all the Japanese were after that day. The airfields got hit, too. Attacking the U.S. aircraft on Oahu was an essential component of the Japanese attack plan. If the Japanese were successful in destroying a large portion of the U.S. planes, they could proceed unhindered in the skies above Pearl Harbor. Plus, a counterattack against the Japanese force would be much more unlikely. This was the beginning of World War II for the United States. After the attack, they were sure that America's ability to wage a successful war against them anytime too soon would not happen, something that the American people proved wrong in the coming years, to the surprise of both the Japanese and the Germans. When it comes to the American people today, that could happen again, and I am talking about getting ready to fight and win the war with the soldiers. But with the tightening control over the people and the liberal government seems to be having today, I doubt that it would be allowed. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberty. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those lefties in Washington, D.C. take our freedoms away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Finding out the basic facts about Pearl Harbor can often be troublesome. Hopefully, you will find what you are looking for here for a collection, the collection that I was looking at of Pearl Harbor facts should prove both informational and interesting. General Pearl Harbor facts are as follows. The attack on Pearl Harbor occurred on December 7th. We all know that. The Japanese attacked the United States without warning, though radar picked up something before the attack, but it was put off as something else. The attack lasted 110 minutes from 7:55 to 9:45. A total of 2,335 U.S. servicemen were killed and 1,143 were wounded. 68 civilians were also killed and 35 were wounded. The Japanese lost 65 men with an additional soldier being captured. Pearl Harbor is on the south side of the Hawaiian island of Oahu and is the home to the U.S. naval base. The attack on Pearl Harbor brought the United States into World War II, as I mentioned a short time ago. Japan and the attack on Pearl Harbor had their own facts. Plans for a surprise attack against the United States were begun as early as January of 1941. Although it was the Japanese Admiral Ishiruku Yamamoto who initiated plans for the attack against Pearl Harbor, Commander Minoru Genda was the plan's chief architect. The Chinese used the code name Operation Hawaii for the attack on Pearl Harbor, but this was later changed to Operation Z. The Japanese specifically chose to attack on Sunday because they believed Americans would be more relaxed and thus less alert on a weekend, which they were. The Japanese attack force stationed itself approximately 230 miles north of the Hawaiian island of Oahu. The Japanese launched their airplanes in two waves approximately 45 minutes apart. The first wave of Japanese planes struck Pearl Harbor at 7:55, the second at around 8:40. When Japanese commander Mitsuo Fushida called out Tora, Tora, Tora upon flying over Pearl Harbor, it was a message to the entire Japanese Navy telling them they had caught the Americans totally by surprise. We will be right back. Okay. That was interesting.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets makes super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kathy Henners, your host of Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Whether you're surrounded by friends and family or far away protecting our country, may you find joy, love, and peace. Merry Christmas!
Okay, now we get back to the attack and facts about the battleships. The main target of the Japanese was to be the aircraft carriers. However, since all three U.S. aircraft carriers were out to sea that day. The Japanese had to change their focus and change their idea as to what they were going to attack the most, and that was to be the battleships. There were 8 battleships at Pearl Harbor that day, which included all the battleships of the Pacific Colorado, which was out at sea. 7 of the U.S. battleships were lined up in Battleship Row during the attack. Like I had said before, the Nevada left its berth, but was repeatedly hit on its way, and it had to beach itself. All 8 battleships were either sunk or damaged during the attack, but amazingly, all but 2, the Arizona and the Oklahoma, were eventually able to return to active duty, which to me tells a lot about the ingenuity and the abilities of the American military and the American people at that point in time. Many U.S. servicemen were either still in their pajamas or eating breakfast in the mess halls when the attack on Pearl Harbor began. U.S. servicemen identified the invading planes as Japanese because of the meatballs, which is what they called the large red circle of the rising sun on the side of the Japanese planes. The Japanese hoped to destroy U.S. planes on the ground in order to minimize any counterattack against them over Pearl Harbor or against the Japanese attack force. The Japanese struck the airfields at Hickam Field, Wheeler Field, Bellows Field, Ewa Field, Schoefield, Barracks, and Kanohe Naval Air Station. Many of the U.S. planes were lined up outside along the airstrips, wingtip to wingtip, in order to avoid sabotage. Unfortunately, that made them easy targets for the Japanese attackers. Unable to get more than a handful of planes in the air, individual U.S. servicemen tried to shoot down the Japanese planes from the ground. After the attack on Pearl Harbor ended, when the Japanese left Pearl Harbor at 9:45, the Americans didn't realize the attack was actually over. They expected to be hit with another wave. The day following the attack on the Pearl Harbor, U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared that December 7, 1941 would be a date that will live in infamy, and I will play that speech. It wasn't that long, as speeches go for a politician. It was only like about 5 minutes long, which is really actually very short when it comes to a politician and their speeches. The United States declared war on Japan on December 8, 1941, the day following the attack on Pearl Harbor. And remember, Pearl Harbor became the rallying cry for the U.S. during World War II, and it carried us throughout the whole war, a cry that would rally Americans to do everything they could and use all resources that were at their disposal to win the war against the empire that brought the war to a totally unprepared nation. Today, we would be told that we brought it on ourselves and that it would be a war that we couldn't win, so therefore we wouldn't try. And I constantly thank God that this type of defeatist person like Harry Reid wasn't in charge in the late days of 1941, because if people like him and Barack Obama had been in charge then, we would have never even come close to winning World War II, and the world would be a much different place today for it. At 12:30 p.m. on December 8, 1941, U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt stood before Congress and gave what is now known as his Day of Infamy or Pearl Harbor speech. In this speech, Roosevelt declared that December 7th, the day that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, would remain a date which will live in an infamy. And we've heard that in our schools as we were growing up. It seems like when I was growing up, December 7th came around and the schools kind of geared themselves towards teaching about that. And it doesn't seem to happen anymore. I know my girls come home from school and Pearl Harbor's never mentioned on anything. I mean, yesterday they came home from school and there was no talk of Pearl Harbor or anything else except for you know, what kids did what kids did this, what kids did that, what teachers did this. So I guess they're not being taught this anymore. That particular line that Roosevelt said that day has become, was so famous that it's hard to believe had the phrase written as a date which will live in world history. At the end of the speech, Roosevelt asked Congress to declare war against Japan, and his request was granted that very same day, which is another thing that you would never see happen today. Something that would never happen today, as Congress and all the bleeding hearts would come up with all the data that would, in their idealistic minds, make it essential that all the facts, real or not, be examined before any action of any type of retaliatory action be made. Imagine the time the Japanese would have then to prepare for anything the United States might be able to put together after that. The war would never have been won by us with that kind of leadership, kind of showing you just what would happen today if we had someone attack us in that way. We would be decimated from start to finish with a short time in the middle where we would do great because the government wouldn't catch up to what our military was doing and put in rules of engagement and things like that to slow them down. But thankfully, that didn't happen in World War II, and we won with that rallying cry of Remember Pearl Harbor, not just in one theater but of the war, but in two. The ending of the war would also have been totally different in that America would never have been allowed the development and deployment of the first atomic bomb that would effectively end America's war against Japan with a complete and decisive defeat. Militarily, most likely. And it just amazes me that we can sit here and continue to vote these people into office knowing what they are doing to our nation and how if something like 1941 happened today, we would be in trouble, folks. We would be in a lot of trouble. And there'd be nothing that we could do. And Adam in the chat room said that the Russians helped us to win World War II. They lost nearly 30 million people during the war, which is something that I heard about that when I was in school, but it wasn't a main talking point. You know, what happened in World War II, it was, even back then, it was mostly just the United States and our abilities. It didn't give too much credit to our allies. And at the time, Russia was an ally of ours. But, if or when, yeah. And sometimes I think that some of our enemies are plotting as I speak because they have to know that America's not prepared, and at the rate we're going, we will not be prepared for a war if it's brought to us. If we suddenly got on the mainland, and not just a few airplanes flying into some buildings and killing a couple of thousand people, I'm talking about coming in like the Japanese did in World War II, and, say, bombing Washington, D.C. The people would be outraged. If it was left up to the people would win the war for us. But with the way we've got our government set up now, with as big as it's getting and as liberalized as it's getting, it wouldn't get very far before they'd step in and stop everything. And that is one of the reasons why I decided to do this show, because not only did America come out and give everything she had to win the war in World War II against not only the Japanese, but also the Germans in two separate theaters of war And we gave everything to win. I mean, music was being written about this. Hollywood did newsreels to help the American people see what was going on. They won't do that today if anything happens, but that's neither here or there. We will be right back. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, which is right here, folks, where America always wins. And you are listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. The call-in number for you listeners out there is 718-305-7176.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
At this time, I'm going to do that one thing that I told you to play, the audio of Roosevelt's speech after the attack on Pearl Harbor. I tried to take out most of the applause. It was short as speeches go, only about 5 minutes long, so I included the whole thing here, and there is one spot where the applause I couldn't take out because it went right over his speaking, but the rest of it didn't, so I got rid of it. Enjoy and remember what a president who knows how to lead sounds like, because the one that we have now sure doesn't know either. One doesn't know how to lead or doesn't know how to sound like he's leading.
Yesterday, December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Indeed, 1 hour after Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador to the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. And while this reply stated that it seemed useless to continue the existing diplomatic negotiations, it contained no threat or hint of war or of armed attack. It will be recorded that the distance of Hawaii from Japan makes it obvious that the attack was deliberately planned many days or even weeks ago. During the intervening time, the Japanese government has deliberately sought to deceive the United States by false statements and expressions of hope for continued peace. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. Yesterday, the Japanese government also launched an attack against Malaya. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Hong Kong. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Guam. Last night, Japanese forces attacked the Philippine Islands. Last night, the Japanese attacked Wake Island. And this morning, the Japanese attacked Midway Island. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed their opinions and well understand the implications to the very life and safety of our nation. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense, but always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us, no matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion. The American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. I believe that I interpret the will of the Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the uttermost, but will make it very certain that this form of treachery shall never again endanger us. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God.
Now, can you imagine, folks, a president today asking Congress to go to war and getting the answer on the same day? Today, Congress would have to weigh in on everything that mattered, even if what they thought mattered didn't matter. It would have to be weighed and balanced all over the place before any kind of decision could be made. How far down the tubes has our government gone in the last 72 years? You know, my friends, it is sad that we keep electing the people who on the surface seem okay but are in it only to destroy our great country. It is time we started vetting our candidates for the likes of Barack Obama, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and all these others stop getting in office to do their damage to this country. And damage they are doing. We are at the point right now where we are standing at the edge of a cliff, and our leaders are telling us the best way to go is to jump over the edge. Sadly, we have people who are ready to do just that. Isn't that sad? All of us at Conservative Nation Media are proud to bring you our second annual Christmas Eve Music and Kids Extravaganza special on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Christmas Eve. You can listen to hours of great traditional American Christmas music live, or download it and listen to it when you need to be reminded of the true glory and meaning of Christmas. And you can only get it from our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and that's conservativenationmedia, one word, .com. And don't forget to have your kids write Santa a letter from our website or to Santa Claus at conservativenationmedia.com, and Santa will send back a personalized email within 48 hours from all of us at Conservative Nation Media to all of you, the warmest and most joyous Merry Christmas, and thanks for listening. I remember my grade school days when we were being taught about Pearl Harbor and the attack thereof. We were never made to believe things like
America's chickens are coming home to roost.
And we were never made to believe that it was, that if it happened, it was our fault. No, we were taught that the Japanese, in a sneak attack, hit Pearl Harbor with the destruction of lives and equipment that brought us into the world, into World War II, and that we entered the war to take care, and then when we did enter the war, we entered it to take care of business, and take care of business we did. But no one ever talks about the good that America did after the war, when countries were left to themselves to rebuild, as the ending of wars always leaves the world with. What America did after the war was to go into these countries that brought the war to us, that were our enemies, and then helped with American money, by the way, to rebuild their countries and help rebuild their economies, which had been devastated. Today, Japan is one of the most economic powers of the world. Now, I don't take credit for their business prowess for America, but if we hadn't gone in after the war to help that country rebuild what had been destroyed, they would probably be decades behind where they are today. So being the giving country that America is, we helped to bring about that prosperity because we brought in our money and equipment and manpower to help them rebuild. We did the same thing for Germany, too. Both countries that took the war to us and the world, making everyone defend themselves against them, were now being helped by the very country they sought to destroy. Today's mentality would be that their chickens had come home to roost and they got what they deserved. But not then. We went in to help them with their in their hour of need, even though that hour of need was brought about by their own actions. See, the difference between the America of today, ruled by the liberal mindset, and the one of yesteryear, which was ruled by common sense. See the difference? We will be right back after these messages.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
In a little honky-tonky village in Texas, there's a guy who plays the best piano by far. He can play piano anywhere that you like it, but the way he likes to play is A to the ball. When he plays it so ball, he's the daddy of them all. The people gather around when he gets on the stage. Then when he plays, he gets a hand. The rhythm repeats puts the cat in a train.
All you have to do is play telephone one time when you're 6 years old to learn that no matter how old you are, facts change when they're passed around. The game of telephone demonstrates that it's not an intentional thing. It's not always an outright lie that causes discrepancies in information sharing. It's often miscommunication that takes an event and makes it into something else when recounted later on. Oh, how I wish that was Common Core's excuse. I wish we lived in an America where the big news story was about a historically inaccurate oopsie, not an ideological travesty. But alas, this is our America, and we are continuing down the terrifying path of change for the worse. If you haven't heard of it, Common Core is essentially the federal government taking over our public education system, or to put it technically, uniform national curriculum standards. And hey, before you start throwing Bush's No Child Left Behind thing in my face and I'm saying I'm some Obama-hating contrarian, I'll tell you right now, I think No Child Left Behind stunk as well. Any conservative or libertarian in their right mind was shaking their head pessimistically when they first learned whispers about Common Core. I, for one, am surprised that things have gone downhill so quickly. Get this. Common Core is instructing teachers to teach Lincoln's Gettysburg Address without mentioning the Civil War. Okay. Common Core curriculum states, refrain from giving background context or substantial instructional guidance at the outset. This closed reading approach forces students to rely exclusively on the text and the levels the playing field for all students as they seek to comprehend Lincoln's address. This isn't just a Gettysburg address instance either. This is the Common Core philosophy. Don't teach kids actual history. Just read them a bunch of words they don't understand with no context because it levels the playing field. Can someone please explain to me what that means and how it makes any sense when teaching history? I'm sure that the attack on Pearl Harbor is going to be likewise changed because of Common Core in our schools. Diana Ravitch, former Assistant Secretary of Education, blogged this week, "What a travesty. How is it possible for any student to understand the meaning of the Gettysburg Address without knowing the historical context in which it was delivered? So I have to ask, what's next? Are we going to stop teaching about what communism leads to? Will our children know what the Holocaust was? Will they know how to watch for signs of history repeating itself?" And there is the main reason I think that they're pulling crap like this out and trying to teach our children with it. They don't want our children to know if history is repeating itself. They don't want our children to know the mistakes that we made so we could further ourselves in a different way. And it just drives me crazy because I've got two kids in school right now. And I found out not too long ago that the schools here have Common Core, which drives me nuts. But will they know how to watch for signs of history repeating itself, like I said? They won't if they don't know real history. Earlier this year, I wrote a reaction to reports of a textbook which used language implying that the religion of Islam is the truth and practically overlooking the history of Christianity in the world titled High School Textbook Literally Rewrites History. The scary thing is that parents are going to keep sending their kids off to school and most will have no idea what they are even being taught. Doesn't that tell you something? Our government isn't bullying us around. We're asleep. There's no way this kind of thing would be happening if the majority of people, parents, were actively involved in their child's education. Liberals want a society of equals, where no one wins, no one loses, where nothing is true, nothing is false, everyone is just accepting of everything. Oh, what a utopia that would be. It's an impossible dream, though. Don't let our kids fail and teach them about the failures of past nations and of tragedies like the Holocaust. They are in for a very rude awakening. Common Core promotes coddling. Julie Borowski did a video on Common Core and explained that according to Common Core standards, if a kid can explain how they got 2 plus 2 equals 5, then they're right. And again, I have to say, what? I actually worked at a school that promoted Common Core-ish values for 6 months before I switched careers, the person who wrote this said. I was a kindergarten teacher, and I was told by the principal that if Sally can spell 5 spelling words and Bobby can spell 20, both can get A's because Sally will just be graded on a different scale. This fog that our generation is stumbling around in tells us that there is no ultimate truth, doesn't make any logical sense, and is setting us up for disaster. People can't be equal. That's not a cold-hearted statement. That's just truth. People have to have motivation to be best at something in order for anything good to happen or get done. period. Capitalism is not evil. We need to reward success in order to motivate people to work hard. Concerning morality, we have the gay community fighting for equality, but they are misusing that word. Equality for them means inequality for others, like Christians who want to teach their kids a biblical view of sexuality. Put simply, the more we give the government control of, the more we lose ourselves. If we hand all of our rights away in the name of equality, we will lose our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, our freedom to educate our children the way we see fit, and even our very history. Giving education to the federal government should be terrifying to you. Common Core is just a newborn idea, and already they are omitting unbelievably significant parts of our American history. And we are also learning that Common Core is not doing what the government is telling us is happening for our children. What is going on is we are having our children being retaught so that they will believe as the liberals do, and we will have to make sure that they are taught the right history, not the revisionistic liberal one that the Common Core is teaching them. And I myself have seen my daughters coming home from school and saying, oh yeah, guess what they're teaching us in school today? Some of the things that they've come home with just blew me right out of the water. I didn't think that any schools that I would be involved with mentality to do this to children. But, of course, I was wrong, I guess. We have ourselves a nation that is being taught a history that didn't happen. It is essential that we have places where these children can go, like home, where the parents can actually teach them what really happened, which also kind of stands for the fact that the parents have to be knowledgeable and know what's going on. You can't be a blooming idiot and tell your children that Pearl Harbor didn't really happen and that the Japanese have always been our friends and that no one ever killed anybody. We can't do things like this, people. We can't be equal. Everybody has their own talents. Everybody is good at something, just not everybody good at the same things. And that's where this country is being led down the wrong road. We are all trying to be taught, or they're trying to teach us all, that we're all good at exactly the same things. We're great at exactly the same things. We're never bad at anything, which, you know, being human, you know that's not true. But we have to start watching what is going on. We have to start knowing what our children are being taught. We have to be able to counter that knowledge that they're getting, if it's wrong, with the right knowledge. And I did tell my daughter something one time, and she went to school and actually got in trouble because she told the teacher that the teacher was wrong. And it was kind of funny, but thankfully, that's kind of where it ended. We will be right back with the second hour of the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Conservative Nation Media, where the call-in number is, if you want to be on the show, is 718-305-7176. Now, what they have done to me, they have changed the layout of my studio now. So in order for me to know if I've got a phone call, I have to scroll up and then scroll back down so I can do the other things I need to do. So a lot of times I'm not in the area where the phone calls show up. So if I don't answer right away or something, don't get discouraged. I'm there. I just have to scroll up and down once in a while in the last and the same thing, sick, cold weather to send this way. It's mighty freaking cold here. I wish I could send you some of it, but that's neither here nor there. We will be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Girding. We are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, especially since we broadcast from one of only two states that run their budgets in the black, conservative style. Take that, Obama. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, where we continue working for you to give you the truth that is not told by the lamestream media and the Obama bots. We are being broadcast to you through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio. And now, here again is your host, Robert Girding. Okay. I gave the first hour of my show to the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor, which I just kind of noticed that last story wasn't part of it. But, you know, there were little sections there that kind of brought it up. But there is so much going on in our country today that I can't spend both hours on it, though I would love to. So here we go, starting out with Obama first. This week, after years of the people telling him that we need to get rid of Obamacare, which, by the way, he is not calling Obamacare anymore. It must be pretty bad if his signature program that he forced on us without our consent is now the Affordable Care Act, not Obamacare. He is such a narcissist that I knew it would have to be bad before he stopped calling it Obamacare, so it must be bad. But after years of the people telling him to repeal it and the conservative wing of the Republican Party telling him to repeal it, he decided this week to go on the offensive and tell us all the ways that it is beneficial to all of us. Huh? We all know it isn't beneficial to anything but socialism and communism, which is what is replacing this republic that we have that was formed by the founding fathers. It is also beneficial to the bringing in of the death panels and making it legal to kill off the part of the country that can't provide for the common good anymore because of old age or illness that would take thousands to fix. He not only tried to tell us that it was beneficial to us, but he also said there was no way that it was going to be repealed. Now, if I remember right, the president works for us, doesn't he? We want Obamacare repealed and gotten rid of, so it is his job to do that for us, isn't it? He is supposed to be there to do the will of the people and run the government in the best way possible for the future of America. Excuse me. He is doing everything he can to destroy everything this country stands for or stood for. He is destroying the Constitution by making laws that are not compatible with it. His laws to him are the law of the land, not the Constitution. He is destroying our freedoms by taking them away from us, and sadly, we elected him knowing that he was going to do this. He doesn't care if things he is doing is constitutional or not. They are what he wants to do because we elected him, and he now thinks he has the mandate to do just that.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Even though that little clip came from the movie Rush 3, it really bears being heard over and over again because it seems that the lazy people who keep voting these jokers into office are not listening to what we are saying. And if we can't get them to start listening, they are going to help destroy this nation by voting in the likes of Obama, Reid, Pelosi, and others of both parties who only have the destruction of our great nation and our Constitution in mind with no thought of what the future holds for us. The point has to be put across that as America goes, so do the liberals, because the people are always voting them into office. Will also take them, you know, as America goes, so do the liberals, because the people they are voting into office will take them down too. Not just us conservatives, but also the people who voted for them to go into office. Some of that music I just absolutely love. From bulletsfirst.com comes this one that ties right into the show's theme of remembering something that a lot of Americans are forgetting to do. Boy, that part got loud. This article titled, Mr. Editor, Is the Second Amendment Real? Says everything in that first bold line, you mean we have to ask? Seeing as we have now entered the Christmas season, I am reminded of a story some 116 years ago when an 8-year-old girl named Virginia wrote to the editor of the New York Sun and asked him if there was a Santa Claus. She asked because her intelligentsia little friends were telling her that he did not exist. Because they didn't believe in Santa, they were intent on forcing other people not to believe either. The editor, Francis Church's response in the affirmative that there was a Santa Claus was as poetic as it was truthful and can be read in its entirety at https://beebo.org/smackerels/yes-virginia.html. Nowadays, though, there are other groups of smarmy pseudo-intellectuals who try to hijack the public consciousness and claim that there is no Second Amendment. that if there ever was one, it no longer exists because it is no longer needed. To all those people, and with respect to Francis Church, I present my version of his reply. Yes, Virginia, there is a Second Amendment. Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe in defending themselves except what protection they can get from the government. They think that nothing should be allowed that is not comprehensible in their little minds. In this great country of ours, a true American is a lion at heart, as industrious as an ant, the knowledge and intellect to see what the Founding Fathers envisioned for this land. Yes, Virginia, there is a Second Amendment. It exists as certainly as freedom and liberty exist, and you know that they abound to give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would this country be if there were no Second Amendment guaranteeing liberty? It would be as dreary as if there were no patriots. There would be no recourse, no defense, no protection from the intolerable existence of tyranny. We would have no freedom except in what the government would allow us. The external light that this country has shown out to the world would be extinguished. Not believe in the Second Amendment? You might as well not believe in speech. You might get your papa to buy a gun to watch over and protect you and then buy you a gun to protect yourself. But even if you never needed to use it, what would that prove? Nobody needs to face down evil and tyranny in order to know that it exists. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see the George Washington lead the colonials to victory in that Revolutionary War? Of course not. But that's not proof that they were not there. You may tear apart the baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside, but there is a veil covering the unseen world where ideas of liberty and freedom exist, and in that place where brave men and women are willing and able to fight and maintain that world, no tyranny can tear it asunder. It is the Second Amendment. Is the Second Amendment real? Ah, Virginia, in all this world there is nothing else so real and abiding. No Second Amendment. Thank God it lives and lives as long as patriots stay vigilant. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10,000 years from now, it will continue to keep tyranny at bay and continue to make free parts of childhood. I myself, as a freedom-loving American, never thought I would see the day when I would be asked if the Second Amendment was really real. But I guess I was wrong. I have heard people ask that. The left is succeeding in destroying America to that point, folks. Our founding document and the real laws of the land are the question as to whether they are real. I am sad for our great nation that we have allowed this destruction to go so far. And we have allowed it by continuing to vote into high office people who wish to continue that destruction. To me, that is sad. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. According to a Mexican government official, radioactive material that could be used to make a dirty bomb was found abandoned near an empty truck that was seized near Mexico City on Wednesday. Mexican police believe that common thieves stole the truck. The radioactive material, which could kill those exposed to it, had been removed from its case. The truck was stolen on Monday as it was transporting cobalt-60 from a hospital in Tijuana to a radioactive waste storage center. The driver stopped for gas on Wednesday in Temescalapa, I guess that's how it's pronounced, 35 kilometers or 22 miles northeast of Mexico City. Fernando Hidalgo, spokesman for the Hidalgo state prosecutor, said, "Our suspicion is that they had no idea what they had stolen. This is an area where robberies are common," he said. Mexico's National Nuclear Safety Commission, or CNSNS, released photographs of the cargo before it left the hospital, with the reinforced case that held the medical device, which contained the cobalt 60. The hospital's name was clearly marked on the box, and the additional inscription, "Radioactive Materials," was also there. The International Atomic Energy Agency, or the AIEA, which has been trumpeting that its members make sure nuclear and radioactive materials never go unattended, never mentioned the Mexico incident on Wednesday. The AIEA did not reveal how much cobalt-60 was in the box that was stolen, only stating that at the time this truck was stolen, the radioactive source was properly shielded. However, the source could be extremely dangerous to a person if removed from the shielding or if it was damaged. Kind of shows just the mentality of people who we have around us, folks. If you were going to steal a truck, for crying outside here, wouldn't you want to try and find out what was in it in the first place? Chances are the thieves are going to be found dead somewhere or really sick due to radiation poisoning because of them opening the container. And if they die, I say good riddance to them. If they can't be honest enough to make a living like the rest of us try to do, and I know I'm probably going to get excoriated for that one, we will be.
$80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony Farad, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue sky.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Like I said before, some of that music I absolutely love. If you listen to it, they're talking about how great America is and how great we are and how we can go over and take care of the enemy and come home for Christmas, I guess. But if we really needed more information to show us just how screwed up this nation is today, San Francisco City officials have decided that we need one more reason to ponder here. City officials in San Francisco are choosing to ignore issues related to crime and poverty and making the banning of butterflies their top concern. Yes, my friends, you heard me right. The Board of Supervisors are looking to ban the release of butterflies in public events such as weddings and funerals, and have already drafted a measure pertaining to this. If it's approved, it will officially go into law next year. Butterflies would only be the latest crazy item that San Francisco banned from its city in recent years: ammo, plastic bags, Dequana cat, toys and Happy Meals, and styrofoam food containers have also been forbidden in city limits. However, the city has continued to allow far more controversial things like topless women in public settings. They are not creatures to be owned. And this is what one of the self-proclaimed urban ledopardist, I guess, person who studies butterflies, Liam O'Brien said. He said, they are not creatures to be owned. They are not party favors for the human circus. However, even butterfly advocacy organizations within San Francisco are not on board with this ban. Dale McClung, president of the International Butterflies Breeders Association, said releasing butterflies is actually beneficial to the environment and their growth as a whole. He said that if they disallow reintroduction, they will actually be injuring the butterfly population. I swear, it seems like every week I come up with something new that is so totally outrageous. Wonder just what kind of drugs these people are on. I swear, the Department of Environmental spokesman Guillermo Rodriguez, Guillermo, has even admitted that releasing butterflies is hardly commonplace in San Francisco, but he still intends to spend taxpayer dollars in creating the ban and enforcing it. A hearing for when a verdict will be ruled on the proposed ban has not yet been announced, as of yet. Kind of reminds me of the snail darter, that small animal of some kind a few years ago that made the news because some bleeding heart group decided that their safety was more important for this environment than something that was needed for us, or something else that always comes up to stop something that the liberal machine in Washington, D.C. decides for us just what we need to have happen without finding out if it means anything to us. Big Oil has been hit with this kind of stupidity over and over again when it comes to being able to drill for oil. The environmentalists are always finding something to stop the drilling. It could be something that is like microscopic in size, but suddenly is so important to the safety of the world that if we drill for oil in that area, we would kill these important things that no one has heard about or seen for that matter. And if these unknown things die, so does the world. That is how the liberals' mind works, folks. Always have and always will. We need to realize this fact before we go and vote anymore into office. And the sad part of this is we elected Obama twice now, and there's been talk that he isn't going to leave office easily after this term, which constitutionally is his last. He is a liberal to the extent that he is even a Marxist. I heard on Mark Levin's show yesterday that he thinks that Obama, or actually on Friday, that he thinks that Obama is going to be fighting leaving office when his term is over. He doesn't want to. He thinks America's safety and future depends on him staying where he is. America's pending destruction is more like it. Folks, this sounds like something that could never happen, but we have seen Obama do other things that no other president before him has gotten away with. And still, he has supporters like Chris Matthews, who now has changed his thrill up his leg to something more ominous and probably has a meaning that most of us are afraid to find out about, his Christmas Eve surprise. I have heard liberals all my life saying stupid things about someone with any common sense that someone with any common sense would shake off and forget. Sadly, no one in media these days has that common sense, and therefore remember and continue on with the stupidity that they always push forth on us, the American people. They are a product of the coming generation after Common Core gets to them, and most of us don't want to hear it. And this includes the stupidity from our idiot-in-chief in the White House. What we need to do is to stop and say in chorus, all at the same time, we do not care what you want. We want Obamacare repealed. Do it now. That is the only thing that Obama will listen to, and sadly, he might not even listen then. I know the lamestream media won't, but we need to start doing this, or this country will continue heading down 085, the freeway of destruction that Obama and the left has us on. And 085, I'm not exactly sure when I thought about that one, as I was writing the end of that one. We need to stop and look at the direction this country is going, because if we don't, there is a really, really good chance that our children won't live or won't die before the end of it happens. And some of us won't either. America is the greatest country that this world has ever seen. We have been enemies when they had times in need. When people across the world got hit with a typhoon, we were the first in there to help. But nobody ever seems to look at those points of America. Nobody ever seems to look at the things that we do for the world. And there is a lot. And I know I've been railing against the liberals on this, but there are a lot of the Republicans who are doing exactly the same things. And when it comes to removing a lot of these people from office, it needs to be from both sides of the aisle. People who will not follow the Constitution and who will not do what it takes to bring this country back to the greatness that she had before we allowed ourselves down this road to socialism and communism that we are on now. And if it continues too much farther, shows like this one, the conservative wing of Blog Talk Radio, Conservative Nation Media, Rush Limbaugh, all of these people that try to get the news out, Fox News for one thing, will probably all disappear because we do not go and talk about the good points about what is going on with Obamacare, because there are none. It is destroying this nation. It is tearing this nation's fabric apart. And most of us, if we have any kind of common sense at all, see bankruptcy coming. There is no way around that. We cannot afford this monstrosity. And yet we have a president who does not care what the people want. Obamacare will not be repealed if he has his way. To me, that is really sad. Beast. I think so, and I hope that you do too. We will be right back after these important messages. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover from it at all. Don't let that happen to you. Protect yourselves in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information by using a combination of surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off of their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com, that's conservativenationmedia, one word, .com, and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? But everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the Volunteer State, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
From the American Thinker came this one, returning to the state of the Senate, which Harry Reid changed over the rules of the Constitution on November 21st, 2013. This may be another date that will live in infamy. Instead of conventional bombs and aerial torpedoes exploding at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, the nuclear option went off in the U.S. Senate at Washington, D.C. By a 52-48 vote, the Senate voted to change the institution's regulations relating to the filibuster, thereby emasculating a political minority's ability to thwart or at least delay majoritarian dictatorship. The Senate minority can no longer thwart the president's nominations of judges to a lesser federal courts or executive department officials. Now, this is something that, if allowed to continue, will probably, if the Democrats ever end up in the minority, it could come back to really bite them in the butt, don't you think? Although the filibuster can still be used in cases of nominations for the Supreme Court and of substantive legislation, the Senate's historic power of advice and consent has been narrowed to just consent in many, perhaps most, cases. The Senate, once said to be the greatest deliberative body, has been reduced to the president's rubber stamp. Furthermore, If the Senate's rules, originally written by Thomas Jefferson, can be changed at the majority leader's whim, what is to prevent them from being altered again, even to the point of eliminating the filibuster, which used to be called the soul of the Senate? If Harry Reid's assault on the representative government, which is probably an attempt to distract public opinion from Obamacare, remains in place, American politics will be forever changed for the worse. To comprehend the severity of the damage Reid and his minions have done, we need to explore the nature of representative government. Whether the American regime is called a democracy, the most widely used term, or a representative republic, a less often used but more accurate descriptor, it must confront a dilemma that is virtually baked into this form of government, the inevitable tension between majority rule and minority rights. Differences between the ways the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate have traditionally dealt with the tension between majority rule and minority rights constitute a microcosm of what not to do and what to do. Initially, the rules in both houses of Congress allowed extended debate. As the size of the House grew, however, resort filibuster fell out of use. The House changed its rules to end the filibuster in 1842, due mostly to its size, now 435 voting members. The House's rules about speech and debate are much more severe than the Senate's. One consequence has been that the House is much more majoritarian institution than the Senate in recent years, especially when the majority party has enjoyed a substantial margin of seats, the minority party has been virtually powerless. Regardless of the majority party's label, the House members from the opposing opposition have moaned, very often with good reason, that they are powerless. They might as well not even show up. Until November 21st, the Senate was much more congenial to numerical minorities. The Senate's rules, number 22 specifically, permitted extended debate, which boils down to granting the right to a minority of one, perhaps, to hold up action on a bill or presidential nomination favored by the majority in the Senate and perhaps in the country as well. At the risk of boring the cognoscenti, who know all about the topic, let's briefly sketch the Senate's legislative procedure, at that ideal only with how the Senate's legislative processes can be slowed or even stopped. Assume that a minority of the Senate, perhaps just one senator, opposes something coming from the institution, a substantive bill, a presidential nomination, or a treaty. For November 21st, Senate rules permitted that minority, however small, to speak about anything, literally, for as long as they, he, she could, provided that he, she had the floor. If you want to see how this process worked, get the 1939 movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and watch Jefferson Smith, who was played by Jimmy Stewart, tie the Senate in knots. The record for the longest one-man filibuster was in 1957 when Strom Thurmond, then a Democrat from South Carolina, railed for 24 hours and 18 minutes against the proposed civil rights bill. Thurmond's fellow Dixiecrats helped to tie up the Senate for 57 days that year. To end an ongoing filibuster, the Senate's rules used to require a petition signed by 16 senators for a vote of cloture until 1975. When it became two-thirds of the Senate had to vote for cloture, after which the rules allowed for only 30 more hours of debate. Then there had to be an up or down vote on the bill, nomination, treaty, whatever. The Senate's rules were changed in 1975 to allow a three-fifths vote to invoke cloture. Although the Senate once required a two-thirds majority to change its rules, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in United States v. Balin in 1892 that simple majority vote would suffice. Like it or not, Reid and his backers can and probably already have cited that case to justify what they did on November 21st. Reid et al., along with Obama, bloviated about majority rule and democracy and to buttress the move. But what about the minorities' rights? Never mind that when they took over the Senate in 2006 midterm elections, Reid solemnly promised that he would protect the minority rights. Never mind that many of the more senior Democrat senators who voted with Reid on November 2021 railed against the GOP minority's then majority's threats to use the nuclear option when the at-the-time Democrat minority thwarted confirmation votes on George W. Bush's judicial nominees. Then they claimed to worry about minority rights. That was then. This is now. There will be practical political consequences of Reid's change of Senate rules. Two have already been discussed on the American Thinkers blog. Rosalind Smith notes that Democrat senators from red states will have to vote on Obama's left-wing judicial and executive branch nominees. If they vote against leftist special interest groups, may primary them. If they vote in favor, they risk openly flouting public opinion back home. The major reason why the filibuster has been so negatively perceived in recent decades is because it was a favorite tactic of Southern Democrat racists trying to prevent the passage of civil rights legislation. The image of Jefferson Smith filibustering corrupt legislation was long ago replaced by that of Strom Thurmond opposing the Civil Rights Act of 1957. We tend to forget that the Senate's rules permitting extended debate was intended to be a formidable weapon against majority tyranny. Too many Americans blithely assume that something favored by a majority must ipso facto be good. What if the majority is wrong? What if, for example, a majority backs a charismatic tyrant? Thanks to Harry Reid and his minions, we just may find out. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, it's usually immediately following Soldier of Patriotism, but right now Michael Smith with Soldier of Patriotism is on hiatus until after the first of the year. So right now it's just American by Design on Sundays. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week since we're making some big changes. And we're just started American by Design with Bing Fisher Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, and that's tomorrow on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. A 76-year-old woman was killed in a shootout as a gang tried to rob her outside her South Carolina home in early hours of Saturday. And I think this was last Saturday. Dorothy Hendricks was shot twice by a gang of two men and a woman, but she managed to shoot one of her assailants in the stomach before dying of her wounds. Steve Hagood, Theriba Gear and Braddadocious Galloway have all been charged with murder. She fought. She was a fighter. She shot him, the victim's brother Ronnie Lawless told WYFF News Channel 4. Miss Hendricks, who was known as Dot to her friends, had been returning to her Anderson County home at 1 a.m. when the gang allegedly tried to rob her. The 76-year-old fired at the group, and one of them fired back, hitting Miss Hendricks in the abdomen and the arm. A neighbor called police after hearing the gunshots, but Miss Hendricks died outside her home while a relative held her hand. Hagood was shot in the stomach, was taken to the hospital where he is under guard, as well as being charged with murder. The 33-year-old has been served with a family bench warrant for unpaid child support of $80,000. Can you imagine? I am really beginning to wonder just where this world is going. Killing a 76-year-old woman because you're in a gang? What wimps. We will final segment of the show after these messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up, not knowing what to do you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
And finally, we here at the New White Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our weekly thoughts of the day. America is being led down the proverbial toilet, an analogy that I have used often on this show, my blog, and my videos, and I will continue to use it as long as we are dumb enough to continue voting into office people who do not believe in the Constitution or who want Sharia law and the Muslim Brotherhood here in America. Those are things that are not compatible with our founding documents, and the sooner that we all get all those bleeding heart liberals who have decided against the will of the people that we need to start being nice to the people who want to destroy us, the better off we will be. My simple thought to that might be to bring the wrath of Obama down on me, but I say shoot them in the head. If they want to come to our country and not assimilate into our society, right now they want us to assimilate to them. But my idea on this one is this. This is not their country. It is ours. If we went to their country, we would be expected to assimilate into their society, and being here should be nothing different. They are here in our country, and if they want to call it theirs, then they need to assimilate into our society and stop trying to make us be a part of them. That isn't how it is supposed to be. What the people have to do to get our government to start listening to us is that we have to start showing up in mass to events like they do in the Islamic regions. We need to show up in the thousands, not the hundreds. We need to show up in the hundreds of thousands, not the hundreds, or even tens or twenties or thirties. I grew up in a country where if a congressman or a senator got two calls on a subject that was being discussed and they were against his stand, then he figured that the people were against this and he wouldn't vote for it. The rule was that if two or more people called on it, then the majority were against it because the people typically didn't do the calling. But today is different. People are calling in droves and all but shutting down the switchboards in Washington, D.C., but the point isn't being put across for some reason. The politicians, in response to that, stop answering their phones. So what we need to start doing is showing up in Washington, D.C., showing up on their freaking doorsteps in droves, thousands and thousands of us protesting what the government is doing, and the other part of this is to vet the candidates so that no other will get into office that doesn't believe in the Constitution like Obama doesn't. I can say this with confidence because I have watched and reported on what this man has been doing for 6 years now, and he has never impressed me as someone who loves this country. Oh, he'll talk a mean streak about it, but he does not love this country. All he loves about it is that it has made him a rich man, rich beyond his wildest dreams, with the power to stop what is right and condemn anyone who doesn't believe as he does. And then we have Common Core in our children's schools, which I talked about a few, little while ago. Common Core has one goal in mind, to take the competitive edge from everyone and make everyone an equal in everything. The trouble is, folks, we are not equal. We all have our own talents, and then in other areas, we are not so good. Common Core gets rid of that and says we are all good at everything, and if we can even get a smidgen of something right, then we are right. And we will be successful. Life don't work that way. It is a grand experiment to make everyone fail. And believe me, in 100 years after a generation of Common Core and all common sense is forgotten and gone, will we succeed? We will be a society of failures. No great inventions will be made. We will have a society of complete stagnation because everything that will be will already be there. No one will have the imagination to make anything better or right things that are wrong. See where this is going? I know I don't want that for my kids. Do you? I called into Kathy Hinner's show last night to bring up that point that we have to start voting for our country, not our liberalizing feelings. Feelings will only get us in trouble. Obama in the White House is a great example of this one, and so is Common Core. The sooner we realize this and stop voting for liberals of both parties into office, the sooner we can take our country back and get it back on track and going in the right direction again. Mark my words here, our God-given common sense should tell everyone this one. And for you liberals out there who think that we have been bad all the time, look to the disasters around the world and then ask, who is the first on scene to help? It is never Iran or Iraq or Islamic countries or any of the countries that you liberals think are so great. No, it isn't, because it's always the United States, no matter who is in need of help. So for all you bleeding heart liberals out there, this one is for you. God bless America. I had that thought and thought it would be a great way to end this show for the day. We have to start thinking and start vetting and start figuring out just who our candidates are before we vote them into office. The future of this nation totally depends on that. Because if we keep going down the road we are going now, country is going to disappear. And it will disappear rather quickly because we have already led it down the path of socialism for long enough now that if we gave up right now and went to just letting the government have their way, this country would be out of money. Well, we're out of money now, but we would be in a situation where we would not be able to sustain anything anymore. And we're dangerously close to that now. And I'm so afraid of that. Now, every week I give the lineup of the shows here on conservativenationmedia.com, bringing your way through Blog Talk Radio, common sense programming that, if you listen to, will help you to set yourself on the right path to bring in this nation back to its greatness. These shows that will give you the ammo that you as freedom-loving Americans need to fight the war for our country that the left has waged on us and we need to win. On Sundays, we have American by Design with Uncle Bing Fisher. With his engineer's insight and love of America, this show could really bring you some great ideas and ideals for what America is and what America should be. This show airs on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. That's tomorrow. give our uncle a listen. I think you will agree it is a great show. On Monday, we have Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Dave is a great way to start off the week with his veterans insight and most informative guest to bring you another great show to listen to on Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Tuesdays, we have two shows, A Just Cause with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart, and there is nothing more outrageous to an American to find out about an innocent being convicted of a crime they didn't commit. These two will give you an insight into the dark side of our judicial system at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Also on Tuesdays is the Grit and Grace radio show with Jennifer Meadows. You've heard her advertisement on this show tonight. She has been carrying the conservative message on the net for years now, and she's here on conservativenationmedia.com on Tuesdays just after A Just Cause at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. On Wednesdays, we have our leader, who is some guy from Delaware named Duke Brooks with his show, Radio Free America. Our man, Duke, has a great radio voice, and his show with Hanger Flying, Right-Wing Politics, and American History is always interesting and fun to listen to. On Thursdays is one of our new shows, The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky. His expertise on the Constitution will give you great information to continue the fight for this country as the war that is being waged against us. It airs on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Fridays, we have Daily Roll Call with Kathy Hinners, a retired law enforcement officer who served a community in New York State for years and now serves America by keeping a watchful eye out for the troublemakers of this nation and the world, like Muslim Brotherhood. That is Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern and 7 Central. Saturdays, you are treated with my show, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, with yours truly, the Infidel, with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. All this on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Always. I am glad that you all showed up tonight for my anniversary tribute to those that were in Pearl Harbor 72 years ago today. Look up some of the stuff that's on the internet about this. It's really interesting, and a lot of it isn't taught in our schools anymore. You need to realize that America is still a great country, no matter what our president and our politicians try to tell us. And well, that was really cool. Just went right out of everything that I needed to be in. That was really cool. I am glad that you all were here and hope that you come in again next week. And God bless you all. We will see you next week. And here is my last song by an orchestra called Anchors Away from the 40s. Thank you.
Thank you.